Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back! Today is Wednesday, July 21st, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
You are not going to say, "Hi, my name is Howard." Anyone can say that, anyone.
I can't, because my name is Dick. That is, the savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick, the host of this show. So, get ready for some mighty fine sex wisdom that's coming your way. That's right, this is the podcast series that is all about chatting with the movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. Researchers, educators, clinicians, pundits, and philosophers, all who are making news and reshaping how we look at our sexual selves.
I want you to make a good impression on Mr. Larrabee. Now tell me exactly what you're going to say to him.
I'm going to tell Mr. Larrabee and everyone in my audience that today I have the honor of welcoming a colleague, my fellow sexologist, the beautiful and oh-so-saucy Megan Andouilleux. Megan is one of our country's preeminent sexual health educators. She is consistently in the forefront of our culture's discussions on sex. She is a sought-after sexuality consultant for print media and the author of the book, We Got Issues, A Feminist Response to Cultural Attitudes on Feminism. She is also the founder of the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health in beautiful downtown Pawtucket, Rhode Island, don't you know?
Howard, you know what I'm talking about. After all, you are a man.
I don't know why you insist on calling me Howard. Megan invites you into her world at omegan.com. And to learn more about the Center for Sexual Pleasure and Health, visit them at their website, thecsph.org. Today's fabulous podcast sponsor is Papaya Toys. You know, I've been involved in all sorts of cutting-edge sex education and sexual enrichment projects over the past 30 years. That's why I was so delighted when the makers of Papaya Toys invited me to assist them in designing, developing, and promoting their superior quality toys that are taking the adult toy market by storm. You can have the utmost confidence that all the wonderfully fun and playful Papaya toys are made of the highest quality materials. 100% medical grade, silicon to be precise. They are German engineered to bring you maximum pleasure, and they will help arouse in you your full sexual potential. Papaya toys are perfect companions for your private intimate moments, or you can share them with a partner. Either way, you will rediscover passion and have a load of fun doing so. Look for their dazzling banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com.
Now don't be nervous, Howard. Just remember, everything depends on this.
Alrighty then. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Megan, and thank you for schlepping on over to DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's an honor to have you, a fellow sexologist, join me for this Sex Wisdom podcast. I know our little get-together has been long overdue, but at least we've made it happen. And now that you're here, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Oh, hello, everyone.
And there's probably some not-so-nice kinky, pervy folks out there, too. You want to say hello to them, too?
I like saying hello to not-so-nice people, especially when they're kinky.
Oh, we're off to a good start. I love it. So, as you know, I am a huge fan of you and your website, omegan.com. You are a saucy gal, don't you know? On your homepage, you say about yourself, "For years, I've worked as a certified sexuality educator, focusing on numerous aspects of the world of sexuality. I feel my mission in life is to bridge the gap between the medical and the pleasure-centric models of sexuality, and I aim to do this in a sex-positive and sassy yet professional manner." Well said. So let's talk about that some.
Sure.
What do you mean by the medical and pleasure-centric models? There's obviously two of them, two models, and how do they differ?
Well, I find that the medical world tends to like to be very sterile and
yes.
and clean for fear, I think, of offending people or losing their grants or their funding.
Right.
And they you know, miss talking about orgasms or how people actually play with one another because they haven't been taught how to talk about that. So there's you know, there's this fear of, like, bringing it up to the patients, and then there's the uncomfortability because they haven't been trained how to talk about sex. So the medical world is quick to push pills sometimes, but they're not, you know, open as much so to having open discussions.
And it's also very clinical, as you're saying there. It's cut and dried, and there isn't a great deal of room for alternative expressions and stuff like that. Is that your experience as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're not trained on how to talk about
mm-hmm.
sexuality.
Yeah. So they're talking about sexuality like they would be talking about, you know, having arthritis or something like that.
Yeah. And I don't even know if they really talk about sexuality, but more so, you know, is your penis functioning?
Right. Or what's wrong with your vagina, for God's sake?
Right.
On the other hand, there is the pleasure-centric model. And what is that?
So the pleasure-centric model, I think, really came out of the feminist sex toy shop movement, in which stores started talking about how to get off, how to experience sexual pleasure, and talking about sexuality outside of the uterus. Because, you know, in school, we learn all about the fallopian tubes and the testicles, but we don't learn about ways to actually get off and experience pleasure. And I think that the sex shops really started to bring that forth, especially the feminist-run ones,
so
because they brought it up, you know.
Right. And is there something lacking in that pleasure model that the medical model can help or add to, or is there something? We obviously know there's something wrong with the medical model that the pleasure aspect, pleasure model can add to. Does it work in reverse?
That's a really good question. No one's asked me that before. Yeah, I think that there's definitely room for improvement within a lot of the toy shops. And I think one of the first things that pops into my head is the fact that people are very quick to pull out a prop or a toy as opposed
right.
to asking clarifying questions.
Oh, how interesting. Right. And so nowadays, you know, a prop or a toy is going to, you know, be the panacea, the cure-all for what ails us as sexual beings, as opposed to perhaps understanding more clearly, you know, human anatomy and physiology. Sexual anatomy and physiology.
And psychology.
Exactly. Good for you.
Yeah. So I think that they're all very intertwined. And, you know, the problem is the fact that we don't all learn to get the same things together. So we approach things in terms of how we've been trained. And that's where the room for improvement needs.
Right.
We need training in a more holistic manner.
Yeah. It's curious to me, you know, that I hear on a regular basis from people writing into Dr. Dick, particularly men, who say, you know, how do I grow my dick bigger? Because if I had a bigger dick, then I would be more likely to get laid. And and they never put it in their, they never get it in their head that if they, being a good lover has virtually nothing to do with the equipment, it's the psychology, knowing how to pleasure one's partner. And, you know, they're clueless when it comes to, you know, the anatomy and of a woman's genitals. So, you know, you could be swinging a really big pipe and still
yep.
not get laid, don't you know?
I frequently say the world does not revolve around an erect cock.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't. It's
mm-hmm.
wonderful. It can do lots of fun things, but there are lots of other possibilities
that
are available.
And we all know that the world revolves around an erect clitoris.
Some of us like to think so, yeah. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So I also really love this when you say this on your site. This is, I aim to do this in a sex-positive and sassy yet professional manner. I am, as Dr. Dick, am doing a really good job at the sex-positive and sassy parts, but folks are always ragging on me that I should be more professional in my manner. How do I become a nice person like you?
Well, you could grow up at the Cape and become a proper wasp, you know.
Maybe that's it.
That's
yeah, all
exactly
my, all those
it.
Years that I spent in seminary and in the priesthood and stuff like that, I should have just been,
that
you
totally
know.
Should have trained you.
Maybe I'm rebelling against it. Maybe that's it. Oh dear. I'm still doing acting out behavior. What's wrong with me at this seriously advanced age?
No, I'm sure people love your humor and your candor.
And if they don't, fuck them. That's what
right.
I always say.
That's right. You can only see so many.
So before we get to discussing human sexuality in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Tell us some interesting stuff about you. Where were you born? Where did you grow up? Are you in a relationship? Do you have kids?
I definitely don't have kids.
Okay.
Just to start with that, nothing's coming out of my body.
At least in fetal form.
That's right. That's right. Other things, maybe. But, yeah, no human being. I have two cats.
Which is kind of makes up for having babies.
It does. They're adorable. I have a partner who happens to be a doctor, which works really, really well.
Interesting.
So I get to totally pick his brain in regards to medical issues that are going on. I love it. And I grew up in Western Massachusetts and the Cape. And so my parents were much older when I was born. And so I have 1950s value structures set in my head of how you're supposed to behave appropriately. Which is one of the reasons why I got into this field, is I wanted to rebel against that.
Well, there's a club for that, and I'm the president, but you can be the secretary. Because I lived through the 50s, like the first time around.
I'm a little jealous. I dress like the 50s.
Yes,
but
you do, and it's hot, 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 too. I mean, I have tendencies when I look at your pictures and stuff.
Oh, aren't you going to make me blush? My hives are going to pop out.
Well, then I'm going to stop doing that right away. So, and finally, how did you become such a sexual smarty pants?
I am obsessive, and I am very stubborn. And when I was told that I couldn't do something, I went full force into it. Mm-hmm. I went to college and got a degree and interned at a lot of places and worked at Planned Parenthood organizations and feminist-run sex shops, mm-hmm. and with the medical communities, and really try to, you know, absorb as much as I can by going to any workshop that's being mm-hmm. held. Mm-hmm. So, and I read a lot.
Good. And you are certified by ASECT, and you are an ACS board-certified sexologist. What does that alphabet soup stand for? And how does one get these highfalutin certifications, don't you?
Oh, well, don't you have those too?
Yes, I am ACS, and I used to be an ASECT member, but I'm not an active one now.
Gotcha. So ASECT stands for the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. Mm-hmm. And then ACS is the American College of Sexologists.
Right.
And you have to put a lot of work into becoming certified.
Oh gosh, yes.
It's intense, right?
It is.
Yeah. My partner was in med school when I was going through the application process, and he looked at me, and he was in his third year of residency, and he's like, and third year of school, and he's like, I swear to God, it's harder to become a sexologist than it is to become a doctor. And I'm like, yep.
Interestingly enough, I mean, people, you know, still all these years later, you know, when people ask me what I do, or, you know, what my degree is in, and I say clinical sexology, and they, you know, they smile, you know, crosses their face, and they're like, I didn't know there was such a thing. You know, like, it's a rigorous, you know, activity, and particularly if one has been in the business or the industry, you know, for a long, long time, which I have, you know, and seen lots and lots of changes. And so it's one pays one's dues.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long, long process.
Right.
But totally worth it.
I think so. We, you know, lend credibility to, you know, a field that sometimes is denigrated by the popular culture. I mean, folks like you and I, and I'm a big admirer of yours, that can stand against the pressures of the popular culture that says, you know, this is, sex is not okay, or it should be shame-based, or all that kind of stuff that we often see.
Yeah, and, you know, in my line, what I usually hear is, when I say I'm a sex educator, they people go, what? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. And I'm like, no. No, you did. And then the follow-up is, you know, because I really work a lot with adults, is, well, what do adults need to know about
exactly.
sex? Exactly. They learn it all, and I'm like, oh, no. No.
If I had a nickel forever.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow. So I want to talk about that very thing then. So let's talk about sexual health educator. What does that exactly mean?
So, well, I'll speak bluntly. A sexual health educator is a nicer way of saying a sex educator, so
right.
It puts the population at ease.
Right.
Because
you're adding the word health. Right. Good,
yes,
good, good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good.
Yep. And so, you know, there's different types of sexual health educators. They can focus in on reproductive health. They can focus in on sexual health. They can focus in on HIV prevention. Yeah.
Relationships,
erotic empowerment.
Right. Good, good, good. How interesting.
Yeah. So there's different ways that you can be a sex educator.
Mm-hmm. You say on your site that your services include private workshops, keynote speaking at fundraisers and events, better sexual skills workshops, training sex educators, sexual rights activism, sexual consultations,
mm-hmm.
Curriculum development, sex coaching, online print and television media inquiries, and how to talk to your kids about sex forums. Holy cow, you're so busy. When do you find time to touch yourself in purely?
Usually around 11 o'clock at night.
So I'll be calling later, checking in, see how it's going.
How's it going, Megan?
So, looks like you're having a good time.
Do you want any pictures?
Can I talk dirty? So let me ask you about some of these in particular. What is better sexual skills workshops?
So those would be classes like fellatio, or like cunnilingus, or anal play, or how to masturbate. Those are some of the sexual skill buildings,
uh-huh.
you know, talking dirty.
Uh-huh.
So giving people.
Folks don't know how to do that natural. I mean,
no.
Not like me, for example. I mean, I know
no.
how to do it, like coming out of the womb, but
I
other folks don't.
Love to hear you talk more about that.
That's one of the reasons why people don't think I'm very professional, is because I say naughty words all the time and they don't get it.
Oh, they just need to go back to sixth grade.
Yes, really? Didn't you learn that? Really? What's wrong with you? So the skills, can you walk us through a typical one? Let's say, you know, instead of a fellatio one, a blowjob class. I mean, is it like hands-on kind of thing? Do you use props and, you know, and or anatomically correct dolls and whatnot?
Yeah, so I try to incorporate all the different types of learning styles in my workshops.
Oh,
so
cool.
I have props because I'm
you
a tactile
that.
Learner, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I bring with me 30 dildos for
nice.
The group that have all been sterilized, and have anatomically correct models. I bring some visual aids and make people engage in activities together so that people can learn best.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I teach them things like how to put a condom on with their mouth and how to do genital massage, because a lot of times people just think it's going to be head bobbing back and forth.
Right. Oh,
and
how boring.
Yes. And,
you know,
and cock
sucking is a lost art as far as I'm concerned.
It really is. Like, there's so much beautiful, beautiful things you can do with your body that, you know, we lose sight of. And I think that the main thing is we're not connecting with our bodies when we're having oral playtime because we're so focused on doing it right, especially with women. I have to do it right. I'm like, no, you have to enjoy yourself, because nothing is worse than, you know, looking down and seeing somebody who looks like they're, you know, bored out of their mind. Yeah.
And for a lot of people, this is what we in the business used to call foreplay, and that is, you know, we have to do X amount of time of this before we can get on to the main event, which is fucking.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a huge fallacy from my point of view, is, you know, that appetizers, you can make a whole dinner of appetizers.
Absolutely. I think we really need to move beyond the PowerPoint presentation style of how we have sex.
I so agree. So let me ask you about sexual rights activism.
That is my love.
Absolutely.
That is my absolute love. I actually, during my rebellious stage, I became a member of a Pentecostal church.
No kidding.
Yes. And lived in that world for about 4 years. And, you know, eventually I left it when I started asking questions. And I have such a deep desire to know what the other side is thinking and what the next plan of attack is, or because I understand the language and I understand where they're coming from. I just don't agree with it. And I think that it's very important and really fucking scary to stand up to the sexual shame tactics that get used in, you know, the media and the communities and the organizations, you know.
I think that's a brilliant insight, I must say, because I totally agree with that. And we do ourselves a huge disservice, particularly the folks in our end of the spectrum, do ourselves a disservice by just thinking that the folks on the other end of the spectrum are crackpots. And they're not. You know, they're passionate, they're zealots, they have a point of view, unless we understand that and acknowledge that as at least a legitimate point of view, if not, you know, a kernel of wisdom there, then we will never be able to address them in their own language, and we need to do that. We need to engage them.
We absolutely need to engage in conversation, because otherwise we're just staring at each other and nothing is going to change.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So.
And, you know, one of the things that I think I know about you from following your Twitter feed is that you were, like, right involved with the anti-porn movement folks that were in
Boston.
Conference in Boston just recently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
It was
a tough thing, God knows.
It was very scary. It was very, very, very scary. Because they knew who I was, and they, you know, they said that they didn't want me there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, when you're not surrounded by your friends and you're there to hear what other people are saying, but you don't have a big support system.
Right. Right.
That's challenging, but it needs to be done.
It's so absolutely true. And being a witness, even a silent witness, in the company of, you know, our adversaries is absolutely essential. I mean, that's, you know, it's a big part of the work that I do in terms of, you know, interacting with church folks and stuff. And because I can talk their lingo, and, you know, I've been there, I've done that. I know what it's all about. I know what they're going through. I can talk their language to them and reflect back to them, you know, their concerns, but with hopefully, you know, a little bit more of an open mind. Interesting.
And I love that. I love that about you.
Thank you.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That. So tell me more about sex coaching.
Mm-hmm. So sex
come on, baby. Come on. You can do it. Like
will
that?
You look at my penis? No.
But coach, come on.
So, you know, sex coaching is really like for individuals who have personalized questions that they want to investigate on some issue that's not working for them.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, a class might not be appropriate for them. Maybe they're too nervous or it's not hitting the exact topics that they want to be discussed.
Uh-huh.
So sex coaching is on some level like a mini education workshop.
Uh-huh.
It's very personalized, at least how I approach it.
Right. Is it fundamentally different than therapy, for example?
Absolutely.
Tell me how that is.
I would never engage in therapy, and I won't work with people who seem that they need therapy. So therapy tends to be mostly for like, if you've got deep-seated issues that are affecting your life now and you really want to explore your past, that's right. Where therapy comes in.
I got it. Good, good, good.
Sex coaching is, this is my problem. How do I fix it? We may go back a little bit and figure out where did that come from, but we're not going to focus on the past.
Right. So it's giving them practical tools to address the concerns that they have.
Yeah, and basically people when they come in for sex coaching are freaked out. They're freaked out, and my job is to kind of calm them down or give them information that they can power themselves with.
Mm-hmm. Cool beans. One final thing, how to talk to your kids about sex. That is such a big bugaboo. I hear it all the time. It's astonishing to me, all these years later and with the internet and all this kind of stuff that, you know, parents still flounder when it comes to speaking clearly and unambiguously about sex to their kids.
Well, you know, I think that comes from because they didn't get it.
Right.
And so they don't know how to formulate conversations because they've never been exposed to it. The, what they are usually exposed to is the sex toys or the porn and they don't have the skills to communicate it.
Huh.
And most people don't know where to look for that information. Like, Seekus is great. It has they have an outline of, like, what to tell your kids by what age on different topics. And I pass that out all the time because sometimes a physical copy of something like, okay, this says it's okay to talk about this, gives somebody the tools.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're afraid that if they talk about sex, it means that they're giving permission or...
And God forbid.
Yeah, no. They shouldn't ever experience pleasure. We want our kids to, you know.
Yeah. So if we can, we'll just move on to another area that I know is of particular interest to you and a lot of the folks in our audience, and that is sex positions.
Okay.
Go ahead. You were going to say something?
Oh, no. I was going to say, where are we going to go with that?
Well, the first thing that I want to know is why in the world do we need different sexual positions? And if God wanted us to fuck in lots of different ways, he would have made our body parts and joints capable of moving in several different ways at once.
That I agree with. I think it's very interesting how obsessed we have become about sex positions.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, the more I think about it, and this has been, you know, something I've been bopping around in my head, I think it has to do with monogamy.
Hmm, interesting. What is the connection? That I'm tending to agree with you, actually.
So one of the reasons that I think that sex positions have such a, you know, they're so hot or in style right now is because of monogamy. And I think that, you know, when we're going kind of against what nature designed for us to be with lots of different people, that we need to spice things up a little bit.
Right.
We need to keep things different so that we stay interested in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that monogamy is bad because it can be absolutely fabulous
absolutely.
For some people.
Yes.
But I think it's just, it's a challenge that humans undergo.
Right.
And so we're looking for new ways to help us along with that challenge.
Right. And my feeling is, too, because I've thought about this as well, and, you know, the preponderance of evidence is that some positions, some sexual positions are more pleasurable for, let's say, the woman or the man or whatever, and you know, the ones that are proscribed by, you know, religion or the popular culture are generally the ones that, you know, would actually be more beneficial in terms of, you know, pleasure output. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. No. Absolutely.
So there's a lot of things in the popular culture and, you know, in our religious upbringing that really militates against pleasure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we can go to the standby of, like, the missionary position mm-hmm. is bad. But actually, the missionary position can pretty much rock if you just learn how to angle your body in slightly
right.
different or use
yeah.
props, use
right.
pillows or something
right.
like that.
Right. So I understand, and I'll ask you to fill in the blanks here. Are there better positions for different body types, like heftier folks and the jumbo among us, for example?
Oh, I like that word, the jumbo among us. I like that phrase. side-to-side positions are great.
Ah, right.
You know, things that aren't putting strain on the joints.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy, you know, oh, was it NPR? Did you hear about this? NPR just fired a radio broadcaster because
nope.
he talked about how he has sex, and he says he always wears a shirt because when he has sex, because he's got a really big tummy and he doesn't feel comfortable. And and NPR fired him because he said that. Yeah, yeah. So
I could understand Fox, but NPR, come on.
Well, it was Mississippi, so.
Oh, I see. Well, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. but things like, you know, how can you feel comfortable in, it may not necessarily be the position, but
right.
it could be how you work with your body.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a little shy about your tummy or something
mm-hmm.
like that, like, give them your ass.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And, you know, I also know that there's lots and lots of people who find it extraordinarily difficult to be sexual with lights on.
Yes.
Or completely
yes.
naked. I
yes.
mean, it's just, it's altogether just too difficult.
Well, there's a deep fear, I think, that people have regarding their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
exposing themselves with the right. light on, it brings that all up front.
Right.
And
go ahead.
Most partners are just very happy to see somebody happy and
yeah,
naked
right,
in front
right,
of them.
Right. And that's a big turn on, and a lot of people don't understand that. They just say, "Oh my goodness, you know, my body doesn't conform to, you know, the expectations of that I see in magazines and stuff like that." And so, how could my partner really be turned on to me? But the point is that your partner is generally turned on to you because he or she chose you, and
yeah.
she wants to or he wants to see that, and you know, and touch those parts. I've done a lot of therapy with couples where, you know, a woman is, you know, uncomfortable about her love handles, and he keeps touching me there. And I said, I asked him, I said, why do you do that? Because I like it.
Yeah.
It feels good. And,
yeah.
You know, I love that part about her, but
yeah.
she doesn't love that part about her, and so that's where the rub is.
Yeah, it's true. And then, you know, when people say that to me, and they say, you know, I just want him to be honest or her to be honest with me. I'm like, but they are being honest with you.
Yeah.
You're just not accepting your honesty.
You can't handle the truth.
So, but yeah, people want to see their partners happy fucking them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and,
what they do, even if it doesn't
yeah.
look.
And what a better turn on than seeing a big, you know, sex crazed smile on your partner.
I know, that's great.
Oh my gosh, I'm just looking at the time, and I'm out of time for today.
Oh, okay.
And, but look at, I've got like, two more pages worth of questions, and I'm not going to let you off the hook again, because I'm never going to see you again unless you promise that you'll come back next week. Good.
I will.
You
yes.
better, because, and in the meantime, we want to visit you online, so could you give us your website address and walk us around a bit?
Sure. It's Megan, I can't believe you said that. .com, and on there you'll find my workshops, you know, my mission, what I do in life, and, you know, where I'm going and all that good stuff.
Are there pictures?
Oh, there's lots of pictures.
Oh, yeah. Hey, excellent, because You know that's what we're in there for.
I know.
So until next week, ma'am, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Yes.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
What a great show, huh? Well, tune in next week for part two of my interview with Megan and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Papaya Toys.
You're upside down, sir.
I hate when that happens. Listen, at Papaya Toys, being eco-friendly is not just a slogan, it's their business. Every step in the manufacturing and packaging process is scrutinized to see how best they can limit their impact on the environment. Now, how many other sex toy companies can say that? And their zeal for perfection delivers high-quality, fun products at an affordable price. For Papaya Toys, quality means attending to every detail in every aspect of product development, from selecting the highest grade materials to collaborating with progressive manufacturing partners, from superior customer service to consumer education. Hey, be the first one on your block to be a proud owner of a Papaya Toy. Look for their banner right there in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. One final thing, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product reviews site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies. Sex toys for sure, including our Papaya Toy reviews. But also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, herbal products, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is drdicksextoyreviews.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.